Now, I don't know what came to your mind when I said we would have a prayer meeting tonight. I guess that somewhat depends on how we look at prayer or how we understand prayer. And maybe if I asked you, what is prayer? What is prayer? Can you define it for me? Can you give me your idea? I mean, there's a number of answers to that, but what is one of them? What is prayer? Talking with God. Not talking necessarily to God. With God. Is there a difference? All right, what else do we have about prayer? What do you think?
Giving thanks to God.
Yes, we ought to come, and in our prayer, we ought to begin with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made unto God. It's with thanksgiving. Don't be anxious. Everything by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. Something else. Prayer. What do we do when we pray? Do we bring our requests? Is that part of it? Asking God? We bring our supplication, as it were, our prayer requests, and we ask Him. And it's not only needs for us, but it could be needs for others, right? We can pray about different needs. We can pray about material needs. We can pray about spiritual needs. And we can pray for others. We can pray for salvation and blessing, and we will do that tonight. But prayer also involves our relationship with God. I think it's really at the heart of our relationship with God. I think too often we approach God in prayer as if he was some kind of, vending machine. You know, you come and you put your coins in, you press the button, what you want, and you hope the can comes out. Now, you have to be real careful with the machine in the boathouse. That's an old soda machine. And you don't want to break that. No, but just be careful with that machine. But God is not like that. He's not like a vending machine. We ought to approach God with the attitude that, Lord, I want to know you better. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to talk with you, and I want you to talk to me. I want you to speak to me. I think we would have very few friends if we only asked them for things. What do you think? If you had the person kept asking you, can I have $5? Can I have your candy bar? Can you give me this? Can you give me that? I don't know if that would really be the basis for a friendship, would it? After a while, you would start avoiding that person. Maybe there are some people that are saying, give me your tickets. Can I have a ticket? You say, no. Use your own. They get tickets, the staff, to use in the boathouse. Free treats, you see. But God is a God who wants to have a relationship with us, fellowship with us. And it's through prayer that we communicate with Him and He communicates with us. You know, the Bible says that we ought to pray without ceasing. And that's an interesting expression, to pray without ceasing. How do I do that? Well, I think that's only possible if it's a matter of the heart and not so much of the outward lips moving or being in a certain place, a place of prayer. But if it's a matter of the heart, where my heart can be focused and have its attention fixed on my God, then I can pray without ceasing. And God wants to teach us these things. It's not something that just happens. My wife has a Bible, it's called the Women's Devotional Bible. And sometimes I pick it up. I don't tell her when I take it, but I want to find out what makes it a Women's Devotional Bible. But I came across, they have little readings in some of the different chapters, and there was one that was a prayer by Susanna Wesley. Who was Susanna Wesley? Yes?
Mother of Charles and John.
Wesley. We have some of their hymns. They were evangelists in England. But this is her prayer that she prayed. She had a lot of children, right, too? Was it 12 or 22? She had a lot. But this is what she said. It's, "Enable me, O God, to collect and compose my thoughts before an immediate approach to thee in prayer. May I be careful to have my mind in order when I take upon myself the honor to speak to the sovereign Lord of the universe, remembering that upon the temper of my soul depends in very great measure my success." Now, I think that means that my heart has to be right when I come for prayer. "Thou art infinitely too great to be trifled with, too wise to be imposed upon by a mock devotion, and dost the poorest sacrifice without a heart. Help me to entertain a habitual sense of thy perfections as an admirable help against cold and formal performances. Save me from engaging in rash and precipitate prayers, and from abrupt breaking away to follow business or pleasure as though I had never prayed. Amen." When we come to God, we ought to come with a humbleness of heart, a reverence. We need to stand in awe of Him. He's not a God, she said here, to be trifled with. We ought to come and give Him the time that He deserves. I'm going to pass out a booklet that we're going to use these 2 weeks that we're together, or whatever time you're with us. And we're going to read together just a short little article that teaches, or is a teaching on waiting on God. Now, have any of you heard that expression? What does it mean to wait on God? Does that mean I serve Him? Well, I meant like, you know, bring Him a plate of food. That's not waiting on God. What does it mean to wait on God? Is that part of prayer? Is waiting on God part of prayer? What do you think? Yes, it's part of it, right? Or it ought to be part of our praying, waiting for Him. Maybe not even saying it. Well, let me pass out the article. All right, if you open up to the to the middle, it says waiting on God. Do you see that? And we'll read this together if you'd like to. What I'd like you to do is just pick a paragraph and just read it. It's less than 2 pages, so if you would like to read with us, then just please do. I'll start. "But we, with unveiled face, reflecting as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory." Who would like to read? Come.
"If we look at Jesus more, and ourselves, and our friends, and our trials, and our failures, and the conditions of life, and the world, and the flesh, and the devil, thus we will reflect His image more and more. And the hardness, and the impurity, and the temper, and the selfishness would fade away, and there will be tenderness, and purity, and gentleness, and love, just taking that place, changing from glory to glory."
And that's one sentence. That's a long sentence, right? But did you get it? Then go back and read it again.
"If we look at Jesus more than ourselves and our friends and our trials and our failures and conditions of life and the world and the flesh and the devil, less we will reflect His image more and more. And the hardness and the impurity and the temper and the selfishness will fade away. And there will be tenderness and purity and gentleness and the love just taking their place, changing from glory to glory."
Next paragraph.
"This is why He requires closet prayer. This is why we need to get still before Him and listen to His voice, get into His presence. If we listen to him more, look to him in stillness more, and chatter less to him, we would get the sense of his presence better.
Whenever you can, take a few minutes of just waiting on Jesus, not necessarily praying, but just waiting, looking into his face, desiring his presence. At first, you may not seem to receive much, but if you take every opportunity, presently your soul will hunger for him, and the sweetness of himself will come to you, and you will get like lovers. Rather slip away with him just for a minute or two than to talk or read or rest or eat. And when you are tired or rushed or nervous, a few minutes with him in the stillness of his presence will rest you more than anything in the world. If any man thirsts, let him come to me, Jesus said. You are thirsty for righteousness, for a work to be done in you, but you must have the righteousness of Christ.
Anyone can read. Don't bother your head as to the details of being so clothed upon. After a square look at yourself in a real consecration, you are a vessel in God's hands, and you can just enjoy Jesus. Take all the time you have, all the thought you have to spare, and follow on to know Jesus. Jesus, he will supply all your need.
Let God have his way. Ask him to make you hungry and thirsty for Jesus, and give him the chance to answer by getting into his presence every opportunity you have, and he will give the victory along every line.
I'm learning prayer to do less talking than I used to do. We rushed into God's presence too boldly and reverently. If, when we go to the prayer, we would just take time in beginning to inquire his soul, to be still before him, to seek to get into the sense of his presence, to reverence him, and then when we do speak, first thanks and praise him. When we did offer our petition, we would not so often have the feeling of their falling back on our heads unanswered, but we would pray through.
Often when I have a burden on me, until it seems as if I can hardly stand it, until I get before the Lord alone, and I expect to just lay my difficulties before him in detail and with earnest supplication, when I follow this method of prayer, by the time I have felt his presence and felt his touch and praised him, I have just a sweet time of emotion. And when I get up, I think why I never told the Lord about that at all. And I just don't need to. The burden is gone. The problem solved, and I know he has undertaken for me.
Not that we never need to supplicate, because we do, but not so often as we sometimes think. But we need for far more waiting on God than we have.
Now, what speaks to you? Anything?
This pop out to me. And when you are tired or rushed or nervous, a few minutes with him in the stillness of his presence will rest you more than anything in the world. And which is true, because, you know, you get exhausted, you know, us working, and, you know, your body can be aching and so on, but when you're praying and you're like still with Him, it's like a sense of peace and calm, and His presence just comes over you and you just relaxes your body. Mm. You know, it's very
special. Amen.
Well, when I learned, what I learned from coming to this particular group is that other places you could be very you could go to church and be very busy with the preaching and the singing and all the church stuff and the announcements, but you're not really waiting on the Lord, waiting on God. You're too busy doing church, and you're not spending time with God. So it's good to spend time with God and let Him speak to you rather than you just yakking away, mm-hmm. being busy.
I think she used the word chattering in here, right? We like to talk a lot. Sometimes we tell God what He already knows. And we need to learn to be still. Someone else.
And we should ask him and make us more hungry and thirsty for Him so we can wait upon Him. Otherwise, we're hungry and
so that could be one of our prayer requests for ourselves. Lord, make me hungry for Jesus. It could be one of our prayers. Again, the second to last paragraph, I think that's also one sentence. That was her style, I guess, of writing, or speaking. But what is that saying? What is she saying? When I have a burden on me, and what is she saying there? What's this method of prayer that she's talking about? Well, it's in the first the paragraph right before that, right? Just take time at the beginning to get quiet in the soul, to be still before Him, to seek to get into a sense of His presence, to reverence Him, and then thank and praise Him. And then offer our petitions. So in the next paragraph, then she says, sometimes I've had this great burden, there's a problem maybe that we're facing, and I come to God, but I follow that method. I get still first, and I thank Him, and I praise Him, I worship Him, and God comes, and He lifts me, and I forget that I had that burden that I had to pray about. It's not such a big, big burden anymore. Why? Because I've laid it at His feet, I've gotten in touch with Him, I've turned my eyes on Him. We sing that song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." Look full in His wonderful face. And that's how this article started. If we looked at Jesus more, instead of looking at our situation, our friends, our failures, instead of looking at the problems, if we would look at Jesus more, then we would reflect His image. We would be changed from glory to glory. We would become more like Him. And so tonight, we're going to take requests. But I wanted you to have this article now, not maybe next week, because I thought while we're here at camp, maybe we could endeavor to put this into practice. All right? Take time just to slip away. You know, we don't have a lot of time, right? Do you have any free time at camp? You do. You have a little bit of free time, no? Someone says no. Because it depends what you enjoy. If you work for Uncle Tom, you have no free time. Right?
I'm fired.
No. Of course, we all have time. We all make time. We use that expression, right? For the things that we want. Right? We find time. We find time in our busy days for the things that we want. That we want to do. And so if we really want Jesus, we're going to find time in our busy day to spend time waiting upon Him. Just as maybe you sit quiet on your bed, maybe you take your Bible, open it up, and you read a verse, and then just sit before the Lord and meditate and think about Him. And just begin to praise Him. Jesus, I love You. Jesus, I worship You. Sing a song to Him. And you'll sense that He comes and He draws very near to us. And the reason I encourage you to do that here is because it seems that when we're in a place like this where We're with people who are in faith with us. We're all like-minded. We're all here to seek Jesus. It seems that Jesus manifests himself to us. I was going to say it seems easier to touch him. And so take advantage of that. Take advantage of your being at Pilgrim Camp and just talk to him. And adopt this method of prayer. Just getting quiet first. Don't rush in, you know, and say, God, you got to do this for me right now. We like that, right? We want instant results. And God is more interested in you and having a relationship with you. And he'll answer your prayer. He knows your need. You know, in Matthew, it's the 6th chapter, it says their Father knows. You think that your prayer request, you're telling God something that he doesn't already know? Father knows. Father sees. And Father wants to give. Father wants to bless. Father wants to give you what's best. And yet he wants us to ask. To ask in faith. To ask because when we ask, we own our dependence upon him. And so tonight, I'm sure that there are prayer requests in this room. And what I like to do, or what we've done in the past, is I'm just going to go around, and if you have a prayer request, you can verbalize it and tell us what it is. And if you don't, you don't have to. You don't have to share a request necessarily. And after we do that, then we're going to take time to pray. And the reason I like you to say your request out loud is because, again, it's an expression of our trust and our faith in God. You're sharing this because you want God to answer this prayer. And every request might not be prayed for specifically or out loud, but God knows and God sees. God sees our heart, God sees our need. And we're here together to stand with one another in love. Isn't it wonderful? God brings people from all different places, right? Even from New Jersey, right? New Jersey. How many from New Jersey? Okay, don't be ashamed. It's okay to be from New Jersey. Is that right? And Utica? Have anybody from Utica? Do we have any from, is there anybody from Florida? New York, Woodhaven? Texas, Williamsburg? Where? Oh, Texas, right. Sister, you have all your Texas friends here now.
Okay, the Lone Star State.
And our friends from Woodhaven. And yet we're here because we all love the Lord and we want to love one another. There's a common bond here, right? We meet one another and there's something there that says, you're my brother. Brother Bob, you're my brother. And so I'm just going to start. I'll start with Sister Liz. And if you have a prayer request. Now let's pray. And that means that you can pray out loud so that we can hear. But let's pick, maybe you remember someone's request who's sitting near you, or something that like you'd like to pray for. You can pray for your own request. But let's just touch God together. Lord, we thank you, first of all, because you are a God who hears and answers prayer. And Lord, you invite us to come to you. You say, come boldly to the throne of grace. And so, Lord, we want to come tonight with the confidence that you hear and you will answer our prayers. Lord, your heart is open. Your ear is open to the cry of your people. And so, Lord, I just pray that our hearts, Lord, would just be filled with faith tonight. Faith to know that you are the God of the impossible. You are the God who changes lives. You are the God who changes situations. You are the God who changes me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Let's pray right now for the campers that came today. Maybe
maybe one or two could just lead out in prayer, but let's all join our hearts and pray that God would begin his work even now, even this night. Oh, God. Oh.
Thank you, Lord, for bringing these boys and the cottagers. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would move in their hearts and lives.
Yes, Jesus.
To draw them to yourself, to speak to them. Give them attentive ears, O Lord, that in their hearts melt their hearts, subdue all things unto yourself, we pray. And work in your to will and to do of your good pleasure, to reach them and to save them, O God, to the uttermost, to meet their needs. We pray you pour out your Holy Spirit,
yes, Lord,
to give them,
yes, Lord,
O God, strength to stand for you, to live for you. Give them a hunger for your word that they would live by your word, O God. And we pray for strength of the counselors, Lord. Some of them, it's their second period, O Lord. We pray for strength for them, O God.
Amen.
Give them your grace and your glory. As we heard tonight, you're able to restore. You're able to renew our strength. Come to them, Lord, we pray. And bless them. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come by your Spirit, dear Lord.
Oh, Lord, fill them, this boy, with your Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Change their heart. Let them open to you. Have a hunger heart to you. They all serve you and became your children.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, do it. Yes, Lord. Oh,
hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Lord. Oh, Father, I thank you for this place. I'm thinking of my boy being here and the other campers that are here, that they can get to know you better.
Yes,
amen.
That they can use what they are going to learn through these days here to be prepared to fight against this world.
Yes, Lord.
And to fight against the enemy, mm-hmm. and to fight against their own flesh.
Yes.
We know that it's a hard thing to do, and we are hoping that they come from this camp more equipped to
yes.
do that.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Jesus, my oh, glory, glory, glory.
Lord Jesus, we pray for those that are ministering this period. We pray especially for Brother Philip and Brother Gordon as they bring forth the word. We pray, Lord, that our hearts may be open to receive all that you want to do for us.
Yes.
The work of the staff especially,
yes, Lord.
As they hear the word day after day. Lord, sometimes we know they may be tired, but we know, Jesus, that you can do your perfect will in their hearts. You brought them here for a purpose, and we pray that you would fulfill that purpose. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.
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 Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, oh, Lord, Lord, Lord,
hallelujah. Now, many of you also expressed a desire to come closer to God, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be more like Jesus. And there's a beautiful prayer in our hymn book that we'll sing together, we'll pray together. It's, oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. 325. We'll stand as we sing.
treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be
just read together this next verse. Let's pray it together. Verse 4. Oh, to be like thee, Lord, I am coming now to receive the anointing divine. All that I am and have, I am bringing. Lord, from this moment, all shall be thine. Oh, God, answer that prayer, dear God. Lord, we again give ourselves to you. God, anoint our lives. Fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. God, that our words would not be our own, that our actions would be as moved by you. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Let's sing that last verse together.
Oh, to be like thee while I am pleading, pour out thy spirit, fill with thy love. Make me a temple, me for thy dwelling, fit me for life and heaven above. Oh, to be
if you can sing that without the book. Let's just sing that chorus together. Make that our prayer. Closing.
Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness.
Brother Jim, would you pray with us, please?
Oh, Jesus, the desire of each one of our hearts is to be more like you, Jesus. You have to do the work in us, Lord. We can do nothing without you, for we are nothing. We ask you to bless each one here, Lord. Give a fullness of you throughout these bodies that you have claimed. For you live in us, Lord. We can do nothing without you. We can do all things through and with you, Lord, as you desire. Fill each one tonight, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We ask you just let us not go out of this place the same as we came in.
Amen.
Do something special in each one, and we'll be careful to give you all the glory and all the honor. For we ask it in your precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus, work in us by your Spirit, dear God. Oh, God, work in us. Work in us.